Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord, Savior, and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Built on the rock, the church shall stand. That rock is Christ, and Christ is our King. As I mentioned in the children's message, this is the last weekend of the church year, and when the church has traditionally celebrated Christ as King. And Christ really is King. As Christians, we confess that Christ is the King over all of creation. And Christ is the King of the whole Christian church. And Christ is our King here at St. John Lutheran Church. Christ really is King. But to confess Jesus as our King really is a matter of faith. Most of the world doesn't even acknowledge Jesus, let alone acknowledge him as a king. And when we look at all the evil and chaos in the world, it sure doesn't look like Christ is reigning over anything right now. And it doesn't always look like Jesus is ruling in the church either. The church is plagued with attacks from the outside and within, divisions all over. Still, Christians have a knack for believing things that seem impossible or foolish to the rest of the world. In our text for today, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25, speaks of such foolishness. Here St. Paul writes, and it's on the back of our bulletin if you would like to follow along. Paul says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." To the world, it's foolish and absurd that the death of a Jewish man could save people from their sins. But as the church, we proclaim that Christ was crucified for our salvation. And we believe that the crucified Christ, the man who hung on the cross, is also our King. So in spite of all that we see and hear in the world, in spite of all the sin and division throughout the Christian church, by faith, we believe that Jesus is our King. It's a matter of faith. Christ really is King. So switching gears a bit, today we're wrapping up our sermon series on the book Connected to Christ by Peter Speckhard. Over the last 4 weeks, we've explored various aspects of why membership in a Christian church, in the Christian church, matters. We've discussed the reality that Christians are members, they are part of the body of Christ simply by virtue of being Christian. We've reviewed that the primary purpose of church is for Christians to gather together for worship, to receive God's gifts, to be served by God, to receive his gifts of life, forgiveness, life, and salvation through his word and the sacraments. We've talked about the church being our spiritual family, that God brings us together as brothers and sisters in Christ into a specific congregation like here at St. John. We've discussed the importance of tithing and giving financial support to the church and obeying God's word, both of which are marks of spiritual maturity. And so today we're covering the last two chapters of Speckhard's book. And the fourth chapter is entitled Trust But Verify. Now, whether we know it or not, we're constantly being influenced by the world around us. And all too often, the world's influence on us runs contrary to God's will for our lives. We all need fellow Christians to keep us accountable in what we believe and in godly living. In this chapter, then, Speckhard emphasizes, or really he re-emphasizes, that a church's teaching and preaching should be focused and centered around Christ. Speckhard compares this responsibility to seeing a doctor. And when we see doctors, we generally trust what they tell us. But sometimes there's wisdom in checking with another doctor. It can be good to get a second opinion. We trust the professionals, but we also verify. The same holds true with a church's preaching and teaching. What you and I believe and how we live our lives needs to fall in line with God's word, which, as a side note, is really for our good. Additionally, whatever a church's pastors and teachers preach and teach is accountable to Christ and his word. If what Pastor Troy and I say from this pulpit doesn't line up with God's word, then we need to be corrected. Within the body of Christ, then, there's mutual accountability toward one another. Speckhard says it this way: trust but verify not only means holding your pastor accountable, it means holding your fellow church members accountable, and, in turn, being willing to let them hold you accountable. In this way, the blessings and responsibilities of church membership merge into one relationship held together by mutual faith in Christ and trust in one another. You, your fellow church members, and your pastors all share a confession of faith. You trust one another to uphold it, but you should also verify, that is, regularly check to make sure that everything your pastor and congregation proclaim and do aligns with that confession of faith. All Christians, then, are charged with the responsibility to make sure that their church's preaching and teaching is in accord with God's word, both God's law and the gospel. And this won't always make sense to our sinful selves. It certainly won't agree with what the world around us says, because what we teach and preach is the foolishness of the cross. And if Christ really is our King, we'll continue to preach and teach what seems like foolishness to the world. Whether it's how we treat our money or our sexuality or simply believing that Jesus actually does forgive us, it's all foolishness in the eyes of the world. In Speckhard's final chapter, he responds to some common objections to church membership. He addresses objections like, the church is too hypocritical and too judgmental, and the church isn't anything like it should be, and the church has burned me out. Now, sometimes objections such as these are really just excuses, attempts to justify oneself and one's actions. However, and sadly, such objections often have warrant to them. And we ought to listen with compassionate and merciful hearts to such cries of anguish. It's always been and always will be a temptation for Christians to act as if we're better than everyone else. We'll often say one thing, but do the opposite. We regularly condemn certain practices, but then practice them ourselves. We regularly don't treat people as Christ would have us treat them. Churches often use people, wearing them out, and tragically, churches have abused many vulnerable people. So yes, churches are hypocritical and judgmental. We aren't what we're supposed to be, and we do burn people out. All of this is proof that the church is full of sinful people, that the church has sinful pastors and leaders. And when Christians fail, when we make mistakes, when we hurt one another, it is a bad witness for the church. It is a bad witness, and it damages, it hinders what we are trying to say to the world. And our witness to the church, to the world, is hindered even further when we cover up, ignore, or downplay sin, mistakes, and failures, especially those committed by church leaders. Sin usually breeds more sin. And when we don't confess our sins, when we don't bring sin to the light, When we don't acknowledge our own sinfulness, we make matters worse. And our Christian witness is damaged. But again, it's proof that the church is indeed a hospital full of sick people, sinful people. It's proof that we need Christ. And ironically, it's proof that we need the church all the more, and the gifts that God gives us through the church, especially the forgiveness of sins. Satan loves to incite the world against the church. And one way he does this is by pointing out the church's failures. It's fashionable for the world around us to rail against the church. We see this all the time. And this really, it really shouldn't surprise us. The world crucified the head of the church, the perfect and sinless Jesus. How much more will the world continue to attack Christ's church, which is full of sinful people? The world labels us as hypocritical and judgmental and so on. The world notices when we don't practice what we preach. In a very, very real sense, then, we are just like the world around us. We're just as judgmental, hypocritical, sinful as everyone else. In this way, the church is no different than any other institution or organization. But this is where faith, where the foolishness of the cross comes in. Because we've received the gospel, because Jesus died and rose again for us, because we've received forgiveness, because Christ is our King, we are in fact different from the world around us. We don't need to get defensive when the world notices our shortcomings. Our King has freed us from the need to be defensive and has freed us to simply repent. By confessing our sins, we can receive forgiveness and healing. And there's freedom in being able to confess our sins without needing to get defensive. Christ won't change our status as God's children if we admit our sin. We don't have to pretend to be holy. We don't have to act as if our lives are perfect. Jesus is holy and perfect for you. And because of that, you're free to strive for holiness, to be better, to repent and live in God's grace. I've also noticed that it's become fashionable for Christians to rail against the church too. In one sense, it's easy for all of us to complain about the church. And honestly, there's plenty to complain about. Whether it's about Christianity in general or the politics of our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or what's going on here at St. John. In another sense, I think many Christians, in a desire to be winsome to others, join in the attacks against the church by saying things like, well, what that church did there was really awful, or those church leaders really did hurt a lot of people. And there's also plenty of people who have been burned or hurt by the church and are now very vocal about the wrongs they've endured. Again, on the one hand, as Christians, we should be the first to call out our own sin. We are, in fact, free to repent of our sins. It does no one any good to cover up, downplay, or ignore sin. But, on the other hand, we shouldn't only talk about the church's failures. And this is what I've observed, that many Christians will only talk negatively about the church. They ignore or forget all the good things that God has done in and through the church, both for the church and for the world around her. Satan would have us concentrate only on the ugliness of the church, only on all the bad stuff that's happened or happening in our congregation here. Sure, in the church's 2,000-year history, she has an ugly side to her. And I know St. John has had its bad moments too. But this is where our faith comes in, and once again, the foolishness of the cross. The church also has a very beautiful history. St. John Lutheran Church has a very beautiful history. Christ really has forgiven all of us and made us pure. Christ, our King, really has made us, the church, his beloved bride. All too quickly, we forget that the church really is the bride of Christ. And when we forget that the church is the bride of Christ, we forget that Christ really is King. But we confess that Jesus is our King. This is what we preach and teach here at St. John. So no matter what happens, when we become hypocritical or judgmental, when we don't act like the church should act, when we ourselves are burned out, Jesus is still our King. We still believe in the foolishness of the cross. We trust that Christ, as our King, will preserve the church and keep the church as his beloved bride. In closing, I'll leave you with the final paragraph of Speckhard's book. He says, "A congregation doing word and sacrament ministry may not seem like the most exciting or relevant thing in your town. But when you understand in the light of God's word and see it for what it is, you realize what a blessing membership in such a congregation is for the people of God. Christ is the head of the body, and we are individually members of that body. And Christ's body, the church, remains alive and active in the world as the members receive Christ faithfully and build one another up in love. It might not always look like much, but such ministry is the most important thing in the world. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our King. Amen."